I want you to open your Bibles with me in the book of Judges, chapter 17. 17th chapter, book of Judges, into the 18th chapter. And we commence reading at verse number 5 of chapter 17. Judges 17, verse 5. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. And the man Micah had an house of God's, and made an ephod, and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. He came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I have a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go, search the land, who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And then when they were there by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, Who brought thee thither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, Thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, Go in peace. Before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how that they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren to Zorah and to Eshtaol, and their brethren, and said unto them, What say ye? And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, and are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure, and to a large land, for God hath given it unto your hands, a place wherein there is no want of anything that is in the earth. And they went from thence to the family of the Danites, out of Zor and out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They went up and pitched in Kirjath-jearim in Judah, wherefore they called the place Mahanaim unto this day. Behold, it is behind Kirjath-jearim. And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. Then answered the 5 men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and a teraphim, and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. And they turned hitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, they stood by the entering of the gate. And the 5 men that went to spy out the land went up and came in hither, and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, "What do ye?" And they said unto him, "Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth and go with us. And be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto a house. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto a house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family of Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and he went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and they put the little ones in the cattle and the carriage before them. Amen. We know that God will once again add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, humbly and reverently we bow before thee, acknowledging that thou art God alone. Today we humbly seek thy face for thy blessing. Realize today, except thou dost build the house, then they would labor in vain that build it. And, O God, we want to be taught of thy precious word, and by thy Holy Spirit, I pray that thou will come upon us and take of thy word and write it upon my heart and the hearts of those that listen. We pray as we leave thy house today that we might be taught of thee. Lord, we pray for your children that thou will lead us into that closer walk. We've been singing the words of the hymn, "He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own." Oh, the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt, Lord, just draw back again those that have wandered away, and save those that are still without thee. Another week, Lord, since we gathered in thy house, another week nearer to Christless eternity. O God, in wrath, please remember mercy and bring them unto thyself. And so to this end, we earnestly pray, God, fill us with thy Holy Spirit as I open my mouth to speak thy word. And in all things, may thy name be glorified. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we were looking in the 17th chapter of the book of Judges. And we were seeing the tragedy of a nation that has turned its back on God and is now walking in the paths of idolatry. And as we were considering the gross idolatry that prevailed in the land, we could certainly say to ourselves that it is unbelievable that indeed a nation could go so far from God into the depths of sin. We had a story that was indeed touched my heart. It was a story of a mother who was leading her son into idolatry. A mother who had lost any moral compass or any moral ground. And she could not lead her son Micah on the grounds of morality or in the ways of the Lord. You will notice it says in verse number 6 of chapter 17, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." There's a grievous independence here. And friend, it's a grievous independence that blighted this society and blights our own society, because it says here, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In other words, man's standards have been elevated and there is a total disregard for the standards of God. And truly we can see that in our own nation. How that we have human reasoning which is placed upon the throne. And that how that society moves upon the floating opinions of man rather than the word of the living God. And if someone speaks up the word of God, how that they're lambasted and how that they're mocked and sneered at. But I want us to look from verse number 7 of chapter 17. And I want us to see the governing iniquity in this in this passage of God's word. You see, the picture turns from the family of the opening verses, and it moves into the religious sphere. It moves into the religious scene. It speaks in verse number 7. There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. Now we notice this young man had been living in Bethlehem. It was not one of the cities that had been given to the Levites, but he was a Levite. Probably he was in Bethlehem because the great number of the people no longer supported the tabernacle or the priesthood. And therefore this young man has abandoned his calling. He has walked away from his calling as a priest in Israel. And now the Bible says that he's looking for a place. In verse number 8, the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And so therefore he's scouring, as it were, the countryside, looking for anything, looking for everything, just looking for a place. He didn't really matter. He didn't mind where the place was. Perhaps he didn't like the place that he was in. But whatever the reason was, we find that it fits in with Micah's compromise and with Micah's idolatry. You see, Micah probably felt that he was too far from the tabernacle, and so therefore he could build a property, he could build a house for himself, and in it he could put the instruments of the tabernacle, and he could have the instruments for his own family, have his own family altar here away from the tabernacle. You'll notice it says in verse number 5, and Micah had an house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And now he asks in verse number 10, Micah said unto this Levite, dwell with me and be with me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And so on the one hand, he has a Levite who is of the priest of Israel. On the other hand, he has this house of gods and the ephod and the teraphim, and he consecrates his son as his own priest. And so in other words, he has got a bit of this and a bit of that. He has a bit of the world, the gods, and he has a bit of religion. Because he has got a priest, he has a Levite, and he seeks to put them together. A little bit of the world and a little bit of God's worship. And he mixes them up, and he said, well, that will suit me. And friend, that's like the ecumenism of this day. Because the religions of the ecumenical movement, they take a little bit of the world. And they say, well, they've got to introduce the world because people won't come to the church unless we have something new in the church. We're looking in the book of Nehemiah this morning with the Bible class. And you know, people are looking for something new. It says, ask for the old paths. And yet people are looking for the new things. They're looking for some excitement in the church. So somehow we need to introduce something new to get the young people, to get people to stay in the church. And in the day of Nehemiah, they had to build the old gates. And men and women this morning in God's house, we have got to build again the old gate and seek for the old paths. Because the word of God is old and yet it's ever new. We don't need new message. There is no new thing. There is no new message, friend, because it is the old message of the cross. It is the old message of salvation by the blood of Christ. Sad to say, the ecumenical churches today, they have cast aside and they've brought modernism and they've brought liberalism and they've brought the world and they've mixed it up. And then, of course, they'll put a bit of a smattering of religion and then the gospel on top of it, and they sort of mix it all together in the ecumenical movement, and people are going to hell because of it. People today seem to feel they have to apologize for the scriptures. Let me tell you this. The pulpit never has to apologize for the scriptures. There is no reason for the pulpit outside of the calling of God and outside of the scriptures. Thank God we're in a church today that believes this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we need no new Bible to suit the crowd. We need no new message to try and entertain the goats and take them to hell. But we have got to preach the old message of the cross and the old message of the blood of Jesus Christ. So people today, they just like Matthew, they mix it all up. You see, they have it, something that suits them, said. You see, this religion suited Micah. And people want a message today just that suits them, that doesn't bother them, that doesn't convict them. But the Word of God is still quick, and it's still powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And here's a wandering preacher, and he receives an attractive offer. Look at it in verse number 10. He says, "Dwell with me and I, and be unto us a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver." That was some pay. He says, "I'll give thee 10 shekels of silver by a year, and I'll give you a suit of apparel." And he says, "I'll give you your victuals." And it says, so the Levite went in. And so we find that he was content. Look at verse 11. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Here we find the priest of God, friend. Here we find the man that was had a calling of God. And he enters in and he's content to go into a house of idolatry. You see, he was flexible. He was accommodating. He could accommodate to the situation. It was an expedient Christianity. And Micah was pleased, and so was the Levite. And the Levite was content to dwell with a man. And the young man was unto him as one of his sons. He was to be a priest. But he was unto Micah just as one of his sons. So he could compromise, just do whatever he liked. And he'd fill in whatever he would accommodate, just exactly whatever Micah wanted. Now, friend, let me tell you, Micah confused his buildings and the dress of this young man and the furnishings. He confused that with worship. And I say this morning, you could go to the nicest of buildings and you could have the preacher dressed in the best suits. And the congregation could have the healthiest bank account in the whole of the country. And if that is not a place where Jesus Christ is preached in all his fullness and in all his glory, let me tell you, it's an empty void. It's an empty void. You can confuse the hiring of preachers. And here we find that the Bible says in verse number 4, chapter 18, it says, "He hath hired me, and I am his priest." You could hire the preacher without doing the right thing. Because this preacher was willing, even though he was a Levite, he was willing for a suit. And he was willing, friend, for his victuals, and he was willing for his money. He was willing to just do whatever Micah wanted him to do. And sad to say, in this day in which we live, friend, there's so many people and so many preachers who are just willing to do it. You, some people remind me at times, you know, we're paying you, and you just do what we want. Well, I must be honest before God, friend. Let me tell you, I was never hired to do what you want. I was hired here, or I'm paid, and I'm here to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to... I remember some years ago, we were in the old building. I'll never forget it. We were in the old building with just the old tin hut. It was a Sabbath evening, and there was a certain lady walked through the door. And I tell you, we were in need because we were thinking about building the church here. And I can remember well, we were in great need. To be honest, we were in need of money because we had none. And we're thinking of building a church, and we had no toilets, but practically nothing then. And we're needing electricity. We had nothing. Well, that's not true. We had everything with the Lord. But you know, I can remember a lady coming in one Sunday evening, and she was a very wealthy lady. And she was just what was needed at that time. She had plenty of money. And I can remember well her coming in, and she'd got a fur coat. And I'll tell you, it wasn't something that was made up. It was, you'd say, the real McCoy. Dear healthy animal, but nevertheless, it was the real McCoy. And I remember a man coming round to me, and this is true, and God's my witness. He came round to me and he said, "Mr. McCrae," he says, "you know how much you need money to get the building up?" I says, "Well, I certainly do." He said, "Well, there's a woman here and she could build the place herself." And he said, "To be honest," he says, "I'm not for me to tell you what to do," he says, "but don't go too hard tonight." He says, because I think that she could give you what you need. Now, I took out of what he was saying to me, to be quite honest with you, I think I took out what he was saying was that it wasn't to preach too hard because this woman wasn't saved, but she had the money. And I can remember standing at the back of the old hut in that old prayer room, and I remember saying, sir, can I ask you a question? Did you come through that door? He says, I did. Well, says I, would you get through the door as quick as you can? Because never you, as long as I am in this place, never you ever tell me what to preach from the pulpit. And friend, before God, I thank God the elders of this church have never asked me to preach anything but the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and I have no intention, for woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And here was a young man, and let me tell you this. He said to him, listen, I will give to you 10 shekels of silver. And he says, I'll give you a suit of apparel, and I'll give you your victuals. So the Levite went in. He was flexible to the hour. Let me tell you, the word of God tells me, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And we find that Micah here makes a big mistake, friend, because look at verse number 13. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. You see, he wanted a useful God. He says, the Lord will do me good. You see, my friend, here was a man that was looking for success. But he had the wrong standards of success. Here was a man that believed that just because that he had the priest here in his house, even though he had a house of idolatry, he would use God as a means to an end. The heart of his religion was this, self-gratification. We have got to be very careful today that we preach Christ in all his fullness. But let me tell you this, my friend. Salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. I cannot save a man, and neither can anyone else. Only Jesus saves. And when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend, and we uplift the gospel, we uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The preacher cannot preach somebody into salvation. God knows if I could, I would, but I can't. It is only the Spirit of God, my friend. Let me tell you, a preacher could preach people into professions. And if all you've got is a profession this morning, then, my friend, you're a full-blooded candidate for hell. And you'll burn in the damned forever. You need a God's salvation. And that's not simply, my friend, going out and signing a card or making a vow. I want to tell you this, my friend. There has to be a repentance of sin. There has to be a turning from sin. There has to be a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. For only Christ can save your lost and guilty soul that's going down to a Christless beyond for all eternity. And the preacher can't work that up in your heart, friend. It's only God can do it. And I'll tell you the end and the salvation of a soul. Let me say this also. The end of the salvation of a soul, my friend, is not that you and I would be glorified or that even you and I would escape hell. The end and the salvation of the soul of man is that Christ will be glorified. Let us never forget that. Remember, I was given to the Father. I was given off the Father to the Son. And the Lord Jesus says, Father, glorify. Glorify me. And I want, my friend, with all my heart, I want the souls to be saved in this congregation. I want men and women's lives to be changed. I want young people to be satisfied and turned away from their sin. But I want this to be done, not that this church might be something in this society. Not that people would look upon us and say, look what's happening there. Because, my friend, that's the elevation of a church. But I want men and women to be saved that Jesus Christ, my sovereign Savior, my wonderful Lord, will be glorified. That men and women might turn alone to Him. and that his name might be exalted and his name might be glorified. But what did Micah say? He said, now I know the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to the priest. And the sad reality is this, that this Levite was happy to fall in line with Micah. Both of them got what they wanted. But the sad reality is they sold out on God. The young man was given recognition. He was given a place of acceptability. He was allowed to shine forth as a priest. But he wasn't in the calling that God had given him. You see, the Levite was to assist the priest. He was involved in the ministry, teaching the law to the people and helping in the music. He was regarded as the spiritual leader of his day. But notice, this young man has wandered from the place of his appointment. And he's wandering aimlessly. And sure enough, when you lose your mooring, friend, and you wander aimlessly, you'll meet up with a Micah. You remember Jonah, when he ran away from God? Make no mistake about it. He met up with a boat. And the boat was there, what to do? To lead him into the calling and his walk with God. No, to take him away from God's calling. How many men and women have lost out, friend? How many men have wandered and women have wandered away from their calling, the appointed place of their calling, simply because, just like this young man, he's looking for a place. He left the place of his appointment. And he wandered off from the place where God had appointed him to be. And he lost the vision. And now where do you find him? You find him in a house of idolatry. In actual fact, he's just hired. That's what it says. Chapter 18, verse 4. And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me. And I am his priest. Just to keep your hand there, turn to the book of John's Gospel concerning the hireling. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, that lovely gospel message of the Good Shepherd, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse number 12, it says, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and he careth not. He careth not for the sheep. And what we find about this young Levite, listen, friend, he has no convictions anymore. He's lost his convictions. There's no line of demarcation anymore. There are people, let me tell you, my friend, that have left this congregation. Let me be honest about it. And they've left this congregation and they've gone to places, friend, and they have no line of demarcation anymore. They'll sit and they will listen to people from modern versions of the Bible. Perversions. They've lost their conviction. This young man had no convictions anymore. All he wanted was the suit. All he wanted was the money. All he wanted was his victuals. All he wanted was a place. And he got it. He got it amidst the gods. He got it amidst the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image. He got it in Micah's house. But he lost his mooring. No more convictions. And he gave them what they wanted, friend. And he got what he wanted. He gave them what they wanted, not what they needed. And sad to say before God, and I say this and it grieves my heart, the truth is this, that many pulpits in our land today, there's no longer the clear guidance from the pulpit. There's no longer the clear message preached as it should be and as it used to be. Many people don't want hell preached on anymore. They don't want sin denounced anymore. They want something that will tickle their fancy. They want something, my friend, that can go in and out of the church, and somehow there's no conviction, there's no power, there's no liberty, and there's no salvation preached. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. And they're like this young man, they'll just go with the wind. Here's a young man and he'll go with the wind. Just whatever way the wind's blowing, don't offend. And Micah hires him. Verse number 12, and Micah consecrated the Levite. And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. And Micah said, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to priest. All will be well for me, for I've got a priest. Then let's very quickly just move on. Notice as you move into chapter 18, there's something else. We see the glorified ignorance. It speaks about the Danites, the tribe of Dan. And in this chapter we find the tribe of Dan seeking for a settlement in the land of promise. Dan has walked away from God in two ways. You see, the Danites, God gave them an inheritance. But you'll notice here, they didn't take the inheritance which God gave them. God had told them that they were to put out the Canaanites, they were to drive them out. But we find that instead of them disposing the enemy of the allotments that was given to them by Joshua under God, they decided not to take the land which God had given them, but they decided to take somebody else's land. They weren't able to deal with the enemy that was in their land, so therefore they decided to take the land from somebody else. And so when you see it here, you find that they moved northward. Instead, God had given them the land southward. If you want the blessing of God, friend, I'll tell you this, you've got to be in the place where God can bless you, and that's the place of obedience. If I want God to bless me, I must be in the place where God can bless me, and that is the place of obedience. And you'll notice they didn't seek God's will. They didn't ask God what to do, but they stole a priest from the house of Micah. And they sought the advice of a man who had already left God. You know, some people want people to tell them what they really want to hear. And they're very happy whenever somebody agrees with them because it suits what they themselves think. And they're very happy when somebody just agrees. And you know, whenever you refuse to accept God's will for your life in one area, friend, it is very easy then to continue to reject God's will in your life in every area. You and I need to be careful because we end up looking for those who will agree with us instead of looking up or looking out for the guidance of God which we need. And so we find that these Danites are seeking for them an inheritance in verse number 1, an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And so they're looking for a place to dwell in. They send out 5 warriors to check out the land. And finally these warriors, they come to the house of Micah. And whenever they come to the house of Micah, they recognize the voice of the young Levite. And whenever they come to him, they expect that this young man is going to give them the mind of God because he's a Levite. But friends, sad to say, he is the name of the Levite, but he's not walking according to God's will. And so they come to him, if you look down there, in verse number 5, and it says, and they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. He never asked God anything, because he wasn't in touch with God. Friend, here was a young man, and he had the name of the Levite. And these warriors, they asked him, they said, ask of the Lord, we pray thee, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. These 5 warriors were asking them and seeking the Lord, believing this Levite would know the answer and seek the face of God. But sad to say, they never heard it from God. They heard it from him. You see, he was away from God. And it says, and the priest said, verse 6, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way, wherein you go. And so these young men, these five men, they wander off. And they come to a place called Laish. Now, as I finish this morning, I'll simply just leave with you what the Bible says concerning them. Verse number 7. These five men departed and came to Laish and saw that the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. They moved to the city and they discovered the city was vulnerable. And the reason for the vulnerability of the city was this. And there's three simple things. And I'm only going to give them to you. And you can study. First of all, there was a loftiness here. Look what it says in verse 7. They dwelt careless. They dwelt careless. And what that means is this. That here was a city, friend. And they were ill-guarded. They were poorly protected. Because these people, the Bible says, they dwelt careless, they were quiet, and they were secure. They had a false security. No one bothered them, and they bothered nobody, and therefore they were in self-confidence that there was no danger. They were quiet and secure. They were proud of the position they had. D.L. Moody said, be humble or you'll stumble. And maybe there's somebody sitting here this morning in God's house, friend, a dear, unsaved person. Let me say this to you. Maybe that's exactly a picture of you. You're dwelling careless. You're living careless, let me tell you. You're doing your own thing. You think that you can do that because you're just like these men. It says here, after this Zidonians, they were quiet and secure. Listen, you think that you're secure. There's no danger. You've heard all about the suddenness of death for others, but somehow you're dwelling careless. It's always somebody else, but it's not you. You're living without the Lord Jesus Christ, and men and women are being ushered out into God's eternity. And friend, deep in your heart, perhaps you know that if you're not saved, you know that you'll go to hell and you'll die in your sin and there's no way back. But you're living careless. Why? Because you're quiet and secure. Nothing seems to touch you. You seem to be going on just indifferent to what's happening in the world around you. And you're quiet and you're secure and you're not bothering anyone. Notice what it says. They were far from the Zidonians and they had no business with any man. Nobody's bothering them. And friend, that's exactly your heart today. Nobody's bothering you. And you're living without the Lord. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There was a loftiness here. There was a lawlessness here. Notice what it says in verse number 7. There was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. There was no magistrate that might judge them and put them to shame. In other words, they were ill-governed. There was no authority. Sad to say, friend, our nation, there is no authority because our nation has left the Word of God. The secret of England's greatness was the Word of God, and our nation has turned away from God's Word. We've broken down the hedge. And we are vulnerable today. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet. Thy Word is a light unto our path. And the law of God fortifies us against the attacks of Satan and the appeals of sin and the ambitions of self. Sad to say, there's no magistrate that will judge them. We have pulled down the hedge. Look at verse 28 and with this I close. and there was no deliverer. There was loneliness here. They cared for nobody, and nobody cared for them. You know, we as believers this morning, God has put us in families. Do you remember when God created Adam? He said it wasn't good that he'd be alone. He gave unto him a woman to be his helpmate. And you know, we find here that there was nobody cared for this city. They just felt that they could be isolated, that they were just safe and secure and isolated and needed nobody. I believe today that you and I, as God's children, friend, we're not islands. God says, weep with those that weep. And God says, we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. And I believe that we need the church family. God has put us together in a family. Two boys were talking in a field one day. And there's a big, some years ago, and just the start of the planes flying over. And this big plane was flying over, and never saw the likes of it before. And one wee boy was so captivated by it, and he said to him, he says, you know what, I'd hate to be up there in that plane. Now the wee boy says, well, I'd hate to be up there without it. Friend, I believe before God that we need each other. And the Bible says there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon, verse 28, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob. And they built a city, and they dwelt therein. They were vulnerable. They were vulnerable. And I believe that you and I are vulnerable if we don't have the fellowship of God's people. That's why I've tried to encourage this year that God's people would fellowship together. God has put us together in a family to stand as a family together, to love each and other as a family. And here was a city, and it was quiet, it was secure, it was dwelling careless, it was not caring about anybody, there was no deliverer. And they were vulnerable against the attack of the enemy. And we find the Danites, they saw them dwell there. And they say, here's an easy place. And they came. And they took it. May God protect His church this day. May God put a wall of fire about. May we as God's children care for each other. May we love each other. May we defend each other in Christ and weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the family of God. We thank Thee for each and every one today that can say, I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. We pray for those this morning that are outside that family. We pray that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified and uplifted in the salvation of those that are not saved. Oh God, we pray that Thou will bring them to Jesus Christ. And as we gather around Thy table, help us to be reminded today that Calvary covers it all. My guilt with its sin and shame. Father, I pray that even this morning there will come afresh for that cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus. Help us, our God, to nail our colors to the masthead. Oh God, give us backbone to stand in this day of apostasy, in this day of sin, in this day of declension. Oh God, help us to stand for Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be like the Levite, that for the victuals and the suit of apparel and for the shekels of silver, help us not to sell our conviction. Help us not to sell out on Jesus, all in His Word. Help us not to enter into idolatry.
but to follow thee wholly. We pray in Jesus' precious name.